It's what the Lord has done in me. I am strong. I am rich. I can see. And Lord, it's because you are risen. You're alive. You came and you put it all on the line and you gave your all and you've covered my sin. You've covered my life with your blood, and I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is not some kind of weird mumbo-jumbo magic I'm talking about in positive confession. It's the truth. It's the truth. We were praying today with the worship team. As many of us go through things with income or children, relationships, one person said, I'm just choosing to trust Christ in what's happening in my life, in so many words. And that's a choice, is to trust in God, to trust in Christ. That's not to say there aren't giants in the land, there's not issues. That's just to say, in the midst of this, I'm going to trust you, God, through Jesus Christ. Will you say, I trust you, Lord? So, Lord, as we go before you right now, as we've been singing these songs, these deep words of encouragement, of affirmation, of confession, yes, of positive confession, Lord, we're trusting in you. And we all think of issues that we face this week, maybe things we've put on the shelf that have been stressful this past week. Yes, the economy. Yes, our health, etc., etc. Lord, we choose to trust in you. And that's a walk of faith. It's not just saying something. It's not just singing about it. It's a walk of faith with Jesus holding our hand. And us keeping in step with you, Lord, as we hold your hand. So we give ourselves over to you, our body, mind, and spirit. Open up our ears to hear what the Spirit of God would be saying through our guest speaker. Open our eyes that we might see. Lord, as he speaks the general word of God into our lives, Holy Spirit, speak the specific rhema of God into my life. If that's your prayer too, would you say amen? Amen. 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 You may be seated. And good morning again. Thank you, worship team. What awesome, strong worship. And we're going to continue worshiping. There's ways you worship other than just singing. I think you know that. Rami, Daniele, and his wife, Gabrielle, and their son, Michael, they've got three other daughters as well. Now, they've all served in the military, your three daughters? You'll say mention about that. It's required in Israel. Did you know that? Leilani and I met Rami in Israel in 1997 when the church sent us there on a tour. And Rami was a tour guide. He still is. And we fell in love with one another. He's a great brother. He's been here a couple of times before, and so has Gabrielle. I think, Michael, this is your second time as well. You were just a little child when you came. On Friday, Rami was teaching in Silverdale at a church. Yesterday, for over 6 hours, nearly 7 hours of teaching with Q&A, at the Fortunes house. Thank the Fortunes. I mean, they open their house for everything, don't they? Thank you, Don and Katie. My goodness sakes. Tonight, Rami will be back at 6 p.m. speaking at the door, and that should be very, very interesting and exciting. And I'm going to introduce him as I am right now, but his wife will be coming up as well, and she's a wonderful musician, and she is a great worshiper. They've run out of CDs, so Katie Fortune will be in the back in the lobby by the information table taking orders if you want to purchase a CD of Gabrielle's music. But without any further ado, and no more fanfare, my new nick, my friend, Rami Don. Oh, it's Gabrielle. Come on up. She is not a new nick. Rami can tell you what that means. Bless us, our sister.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. It's a privilege to be here again and worship with you all.
Thank you.
Who is this man rejected and despised? Wounded, stricken, marred, not recognized. Silent like a lamb is led to slaughter. O daughters of Jerusalem, surely he has borne our grief and sorrows, but we esteemed him stricken by God. Chastisement for our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. But the grave could not hold him. He's rolled away the stone. He's risen victorious. Yeshua was made known. Sin and death have lost their sting. But the grave could not hold him. He's rolled away the stone. He's risen victorious. Yeshua was made known. Sin and death have lost. Man with eyes like flames of fire, his countenance shines like the burning sun, his voice is like the sound of many waters. O daughters of Jerusalem, he's seated on the right hand of the Father. And from his mouth proceeds a two-edged sword. Who can endure the power of his presence? And who can stand when he appears? But the grave could not hold him. He's rolled away the stone. He has risen victorious. Yeshua was made known. Told him he's rolled away the stone, he's risen victorious. Yeshua was made known. Sin and death have lost the
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Good morning. It's good to be here again. I love this church. It's beautiful. Beautiful atmosphere. Real worshipers. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can still do it. Because times are coming, my beloved, that we probably would not be able, will not be able to do it. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. And I want to read, to start this morning, with a passage which is going to be read. Can some of those lights be a bit? I feel like in a heaven, you know? Okay, much better. Thank you so much. Wonderful. You know, the Jews divide, I mean, Israeli Jew, Messianic Jew, you know me, I don't need to blah, blah about myself. or you can ask Scott later on, he will tell you all about it. the Jews divided the Torah, five books of Moses, into 52, 54 different portions, correlating with the 52-54 weeks that we have every year. So in a yearly cycle, they read all the Torah from Genesis 1 to Deuteronomy, however many chapters it has, yeah. Every year from the Feast of Tabernacle around October till the next Feast of Tabernacle, okay? Now, they adjoined a portion from the from the prophets to fit what they read from the Torah that week, okay? They call it Haftarah or Haftorah. And I want the portion that the Jews will read from the prophets this coming Shabbat, Saturday, okay? So turn with me, prophets, this coming Shabbat, Saturday, okay? So turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah 51, verse 17. And those of you who are quick in the spirit, who are sensitive, you will later on see why I chose to start with this passage of scriptures. God's timing is always amazing me. Actually, the seven Shabbats we say, the seven Sabbaths which are between a day, which is very, very crucial, important on the Hebraic calendar, the Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av, which was sometimes in July, last month, you count from there 7 weeks and you fall on the Feast of Trumpets. You know, on God's seventh feast, the first fall feast, you know, the autumn feast is the Feast of Trumpets. And those seven Sabbaths, which are between the Feast of Trumpets and the Tisha B'Av in July, Tisha B'Av is the day where the two temples were destroyed, okay, in Jerusalem, and many atrocities, you know, befell the Jewish people in their history. It's a tragic day in Jewish history, okay? And those seven Sabbaths are called Shabbatot Nechama, okay, comfort Sabbaths. And actually, all the seven portions from the prophets are taken from Isaiah, because Isaiah is known as the comforter, at least since chapter 40, or from chapter 40 of Isaiah, it's always comfort, comfort, comfort thee, my people, yeah? So let's read this passage. Isaiah 51, verse 17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem. And the theme of my teaching, the theme that God gave me for this trip, I ask God before I go twice a year to preach, to teach His word, what kind of theme or what do you want your people to hear? And usually He gives it to me by themes, you know. Okay, speak about this topic. And then I need to break my head over it, you know, of how to put it, but, you know, I don't do, honestly, because God gives it to me every time by His grace. So the theme of the teaching for this trip, summer of 2010, is turning our faces towards Jerusalem. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem. You who have drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of His fury. You have drunk the dregs of the cup of trembling and drained it out. There is no one to guide her. Among all the sons she has brought forth, nor is there any who takes her by the hand. Among all the sons she has brought up. Verse 19, those two things have come to you. Who will be sorry for you? Desolation and destruction, famine and sword. By whom will I comfort you? Your sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets. Like an antelope in a net, they are full of fury of the Lord. Of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of your God. Therefore, please hear this, you afflicted and drunk, but not with wine. Thus says your Lord, the Lord and your God, who pleads the cause of His people, See, I have taken out of your hand the cup of trembling, the dregs of the cup of my fury. You shall no longer drink it, but I will put it into the hand of those who afflict you, who have said to you, lie down, that we may walk over you. And you have laid your body like the ground and as the street for those who walk over. Beloved, you hear the news. I trust that you are very attuned to world events. Actually, you are commanded by God to watch for the signs and the seasons that you are living in. Yeah, and when you see all those things happen, yeah, you know to lift your head, you know, up, look up to heaven and say, hallelujah, he's coming back, right? We are very, very close to Yeshua's second coming. I don't want to be found as a false prophet. I will not tell you when, because I simply don't know. I do believe it is within years. Within years, in God's calendar, it can be 50 or 100. I doubt it. Okay? So I don't want to take a risk and tell you in 4th of July next year. But my beloved, it will happen soon, I believe. And as part of the events preceding his second coming, and I don't think I need to teach you this, you are very well aware of Matthew 24 and all the other chapters which speaks about the end time signs. As part of it, or part of this end time events or prophecies which are unfolding in front of our very eyes, is what's happening today in front of our very eyes. Israel, or Jerusalem, you know, representation of Israel, the very heart of Israel, behaves, the Israeli government, which sits in Jerusalem, behaves like, can I use a word which my wife always rebukes me of using it? See my heart. Do not be stumbled by my words, because my vocabulary in English is not as big. So will you forgive me in advance? Israel plays the soccer. Soccer, you know, like we just read. How do you spell it? S-U-C-K-E-R. The soccer, this is what I mean. So forgive me if it's not a church or word to use in a church, but I still want to use it because nothing makes sense. We were attacked by the Gaza Strip, by our beloved friends in Gaza, the Hamas, yeah? For 8 years, people were killed, children were killed by the Qassam rockets and the Grad and all those, yeah? My friends, and after 8 long years, we decided to take an action, right? So we went into Gaza. We spread over 100,000 flyers before we attacked. Please evacuate your homes because we are going to in. Show me the American army doing it. There is no more righteous army, of course, with faults. Not perfect. No righteous, more righteous army than the Israeli army. I tell you, I am an officer in this army. I mean, the attention that they put on not hurting the innocent, so-called innocent, is doesn't make any sense. They made over 10,000 cellular phone calls. The Israeli intelligence, they called the terrorist families to tell them, we are going to bomb your house. Show me another army who does it. Because you don't hear it in the news. And yet, we are now accused as war criminals. What about the flotilla? Remember? With these peace people? Terrorists who tried to kill the commander units which came with paintballs. And they were forced to use live, ammunition. Any other army would wipe out all the Gaza area with all the millions. You know what I mean? Just imagine that you are attacked day and night by Mexico, I don't know what, yeah? By your neighbors. You think even Obama would just overlook it? No! So nothing makes sense. Are you with me still? Nothing makes sense. Israel plays the soccer. Israel, just lays on the ground and let all the nations step on it. What's happening in the world? Why are they playing such a stupid game? They go to they engage with so-called peace process, PEACE, which is nothing but peace, PIECE, piece by piece process. They give land and more land and more land and more land and more terrors and more terrorism and more attacks on Israel. Does this make any sense? Any common sense country, nation would say, excuse me? After we disengaged the Gaza, for instance, now it became, terror centers. Bye-bye. No more peace process. Bye-bye. Go to I don't know where. But we do not. How comes? Are you ready? We follow in Yeshua Jesus, in Yeshua's footsteps. What? What are you talking about? The non-believing Israel following in their own Messiah's footsteps? Yep. This is a revelation that the church needs to hear those days. So it will make sense, all these unlogical things that you see concerning Israel. Those of you at least who love Israel and care for, hopefully, majority here. Beloved, in the Bible, in the scriptures, especially in Isaiah, there is a correlation, there is a connection, like with glue, super glue, between Israel on one hand and her Messiah on the other hand. They are one. They are inseparable, even if they want to be separated. Let me give you, by two or three witnesses, everything shall be established, right? I'm going to give you four. To see the correlation, the similarities between the nation of Israel and her Messiah, the non-believing nation of Israel. Are you with me? Witness number one. Who is called in scriptures God's firstborn? Long before Messiah was incarnated in the flesh. Israel. In the book of Exodus, Moses is sent by God to deliver God's firstborn son out of Egypt, right? Yeshua is also called God's firstborn, right? Witness number one. Who is called as God's firstborn out of Egypt? Israel and Messiah, right? Who is called to be a light to the nations? Israel and her Messiah. Who is called God's servant? Eved Adonai in Hebrew. Israel and her Messiah. Check me on this. Who is called, what's the name of this nation about 10,000 miles away from here? Israel, right? Did you ever know or noticed in Isaiah 49 that Israel is also the name of Messiah? I gave you five witnesses. Are you convinced now? Israel and Messiah are like this in scriptures. Now get it. As such, whatever Israel was called to be, I gave you the four, five witnesses, right? To be a light to the nation, to be all this, servant of the Lord, to be kingdom of priests, right? Whatever they did not accomplish, achieved, because of their stiff neckedness, whatever, my beloved Messiah took upon himself. Are you still following? In his 3.5 years of ministry, he accomplished what Israel's nation did not. He became a light to the nations. He was brought out of Egypt. Etc. Clear? But are you ready for the next one? Remember I told you that they are inseparable? Israel and Messiah? Turn with me to Matthew 27. You told me 11:20? May I speak to 11:30? Israeli time? No, it's okay. Matthew 27, please. Verse 24. Are you there? When Pilate, Pontius Pilate, saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent or clean of the blood of this just person. This crooked person, Pilate, noticed that he is actually judging a just man. You see to it. And all the people at that given situation answered and said, His blood be on us and our children. Right away, they did not know. They were not aware that they speak prophetically because of this biblical connection with their Messiah. They did not recognize him as their Messiah, but it does not matter. They immediately took his role in the world. Don't worry, I'm going to elaborate and explain it. Beloved, in Messiah's earthly life, which took about 33 years, right? Okay? The Messiah's earthly life can be divided into three stages. Are you listening? Stage number one, from his birth to his baptism in the Jordan River. Now, in this stage number one, did anyone in the world, especially in Israel back then, know that he is the Messiah? No. Not even when he was 12, Scott, right? When he was such a wise child, who was at his father's business. Remember in the Gospel of Luke. But he was not revealed as the Messiah, the Redeemer of the world, right? The light of the... No. He is hidden. H-I-D-D-E-N, my accent, I'm always afraid that you will not get what I say. He was hidden. You understand what I mean? Hidden from the sight of people as the Messiah. Oh, you're just a regular child. Went to kindergarten, probably to school. You know what I mean? Lived a Jewish life in Nazareth, this unknown, okay, city or town. Beloved, this is stage number one, the hidden one. Stage number two is the blessing one stage, or blessed or blessing, okay? Yeshua, takes from his baptism in the water and in the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, yeah? Through Matthew 16. Don't turn there yet. This is stage number two, the blessing stage. From his baptism, Yeshua's baptism, to Matthew 16. And this is the stage in which wherever he goes, whatever he touches, whomever he speaks through, he speaks lives, resurrection. He raises the dead. He heals the lepers. He opens the eyes, the sight of the blinded. Are you with me? He's a blessing. He's attracting multitudes. Hallelujah. We found him. Nevertheless, stage number three comes. No shortcuts, my beloved. Stage number three is from Matthew 16. Soon we'll read it. When he turns at Caesarea Philippi, near Mount Hermon, at the foot of Mount Hermon, the northern spot of Israel today, he turns 180 degrees, looking toward Jerusalem, and starts stage number three, which included being rejected more and more and despised by men, yeah? The climax was, crucify, crucify. Remember? We just read it, in the context. Crucify, crucify. I am clean of this just man, right? Crucify, let his blood. And of course, he didn't end on the cross, right? Yeshua is not hanging on the cross for the last 2,000 years, okay? Like some religions believe, yeah? Or perceive it. He was lowered from the cross, put in a grave, and... thank God, resurrected on the third day, and after 40 days, ascended. This is stage number three. Are you following still? Nobody falls asleep, right? Beloved, are you ready for the next one? Remember I told you about the inseparable connection between Israel and their Messiah? Are you ready for this one? When they said, let his blood be upon us, upon our children. Crucify, crucify. Let's get rid of this problem. Because of him, the Romans might take our city, destroy us. Remember, it's also in the scriptures. Crucify, let's get rid of him. Israel enters Messiah's role. 40 years after these events that we just read, their temple is destroyed. They are dispersed all over the world, and they enter stage number one. They are hidden. Nobody knows about Israel anymore. Nobody knows about the Jews anymore. Besides, you know, like with Yeshua in Nazareth, yeah? Every place where the Jews are dispersed, they know, oh, this is the Jew, yeah? The rejected of God, yeah? Beloved, they are not influential. They don't have a king, kingdom, government, nothing. Are you with me? Nevertheless, you remember I told you the inseparable connection with their Messiah? They must follow his footsteps. They enter stage number two in the 1900s, modern Zionism. They come to a land, they are gathered by God, to a land neglected, a land that Mark Twain visited 100 years before them, and he said, "Woo! Who can live in this land? Full of swamps, malaria, other diseases, Arab gangs, nobody, neglected, yeah? Because of the Muslim, by the way. Why to be surprised? Wherever the Muslims were, neglect. I mean, check it out because I'm a Jew. It's a different spirit. Complete neglect under the Turkish Ottoman Empire, Israel. And here they're coming, and they enter stage number two of Messiah's life. They start to be a blessing. They dry off the swamps. They invented, by the way, the vaccine against malaria. You know, it's a Jew who did it, yeah? My friends, and many more. You know, there are more Jews since then who got the Nobel Prize. Statistically, yeah? According to the numbers, yeah? Than all the other world, the other people in the world, yeah? They are becoming a blessing. They invent things. They bloom and flourish the country, the land, which was neglected. They are a blessing to their neighborhoods. They are a blessing to the United States of America. You know how much you in the Silicon Valley in California desire high-tech people, Israelis? You know that most of the programs, please, I am not presumptuous. I checked what I say. Please Google and check it yourself. Most of the crucial functioning programs that you have on your Microsoft are Israelis invented, including search engines. You have no idea. We became a blessing to the world. Everything we touch, the Jews, blooms. Not because of us. It's not pride. It's because we follow the footsteps of our Messiah. But are you ready for the next one? If you are convinced so far, then why to be surprised that they need also to follow him in his third stage, turning the face to Jerusalem. As they shouted at their own Messiah, crucify, crucify, now the nations are shouting at them, crucify, crucify, they are the problem of the world. If only we would not have the Jews, everything would be good. If only we would solve the so-called Palestinian-Israeli conflict, oh, peace would come to Rwanda. What's the connection? Go and tell, but nothing makes sense anymore. Because they follow the footsteps of their Messiah. Are you with me still? So here is the macro, the big picture. I do not want you to stay amazed and say, we love the Jewish people. Why do they do it to them? Why America, which were their friend for so long time and their only ally, now are betraying them? Why? Because this is what's written in scriptures. Because they are following and they must follow Yeshua's footsteps without knowing it. They must be crucified in order to be resurrected again as a holy nation before Yeshua, who will descend on the Mount of Olives. Do you see it? They must follow each steps of their Messiah. This is a mystery, but you need to be aware of it. So no, you will not be surprised. Oh, you know why everybody hates Israel? Because they hated their Messiah and they are one. But what about us here sitting today? How all of this relates to us? Remember I spoke macro, the big picture? Let's now go to the hardcore, to ourselves, the micro, the small picture, each and every one of us. How does it relate to us? To know this, turn to Matthew 16. Let's read it in context, verse 13. Matthew 16, 13. When Yeshua came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Did you notice that he did not ask this question when he gave the Sermon on the Mount? I mean, if I would be Yeshua after this great sermon, I would say, "Okay, who do you believe that I am?" He didn't do it, right? He did not ask this question after he healed the leper, right? He did not ask this question after he raised the dead. He asked this question at Caesarea Philippi. You know where it is? I told you, in the northern part of Israel, at the feet of Mount Hermon. And Caesarea Philippi was not called Caesarea Philippi always. Its original name was Panias. Can you say Panias? With P. Today, because the Arabs conquered this place and they could not pronounce the P and they put B, today it's Banias. So Caesarea Philippi, Panias and Banias, same lady with different dress, okay? Beloved, Panias was named after the god of Pan, P-A-N. That god which is with a flute, you know, made out of reed, yeah? And that god which Alf is a goat, Alf human being. You see, Google it, okay? Panias. Beloved, the word to get panic comes from the worship of that very God. Because they say, there are many ideas about how the word panic came, but, I mean, why or what caused them to get panic, yeah? Some say when he worshipped, he made high tunes in his flute, which scared them, the women especially. Some say that at night, he was a god which was related to caves, okay? And shepherds in the nights. He was the guardian of the shepherds. In the Greek mythology, okay? This garbage. My beloved, so some say that they heard his voice echoing at the night, darkened night, and they got panicking. Whatever caused the panic, this is where we have the word panic. From the God of Pan, are you with me? In this panicking area, Yeshua asks his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" Relators say it is all a matter of location, 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 right? Bible teachers should say the same, but differently. It is all based on context, context, context. Do not leave the context apart. Otherwise, you will pick and choose. Beloved, the context is in an area which causes panic. Panic. That's where he asks this question. Let's continue. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, and he asks you today, the same question, but please, 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 please look at me. Do not be quick to answer. Life and death are in the tongue. Do not be quick to answer Yeshua's question till you hear me till the end. Context, context, context. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Yeshua answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Peter, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." You know why I told you not to be too quick in answering it? Because in the church, this Peter's confession, which is, by the way, the rock upon which the church was and has been built since then. Remember, he tells him, "You are Petrus," and on this Petra in Greek, the huge rock, "I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against you." Remember this? It's here. I just did not read it. Beloved, in the church, it became dogmatic confession. Pastors will ask there, you know, somebody before he gets baptized there, he will ask, "Okay, tell me, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, the Messiah?" And he says, "I believe." Hallelujah. Psht, psht. The church invented what I call the creed theology. Every church has its creed. "I believe in this, I believe in that, I believe in..." Like God cares what you believe. The demon believes the same. And they tremble. God cares what you do with what you believe. Stop blah, blah, blahing about what you believe. Start maybe acting in accordance. So my beloved, it has nothing to do with dogmatic confession here, which will save you. It has all to do. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It has all to do with the conduct of your life from the time you uttered it from your lips. Context, context, context. So let's continue with the context and see if you will be quick to say what Peter said. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Hallelujah. The same Peter gets a rebuke, but before he gets Yeshua's rebuke, he rebukes Yeshua. Let's read it in verse 21. Context. This is the same context. They did not leave Caesarea Philippi. It's the same context. "From that time," are you listening? Verse 21. "From that time," which time? Peter's confession. Peter's confession. Peter's confession. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." "From that time," Yeshua began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, turning our faces towards Jerusalem. This is the message of God to you today, church. "And suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day." But Peter took him aside. Funny, huh? Peter now rebukes his master. "And began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.' But the Lord turned to Peter and said, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men.'" Wake up. Beloved, are you ready now to confess what Peter confessed? If you're ready, you better not be an offense to God a few seconds later. What am I talking about? Most of the church today, and I'm talking also about some of my Messianic Jewish, because we are part of this body of Messiah, okay? I don't look down to the church as a Messianic Jew. I'm part of the business, part of the deal, yeah? We are one, no second, third, fifth class citizen in the kingdom. We are one, beloved. Most of us are minded on the things of men, i.e., don't talk with me, Leilani, about sufferings, about going to Jerusalem. Far be it from you, Leilani. No, no, God wants to bless you only. Far be it from you if you lost your well-paid job. It's not God, it's Satan. Far be it from you if you are a little bit sick today. This is from Satan. Because the different gospel which is preached in the church today wants you to get stuck at Caesarea Philippi, worshiping the God of Pan. Worries, panicking about, oh, Obama is now in control. He destroys America. Excuse me, Obama is your God? Was Bush Jr. Sr. your God? Woe to you if they were to begin with. Oh, look what they do to Israel. Oh, look at it. Oh, we have nuclear, how do you call it? Those little cases, yeah? You know, oh, dirty bombs. Oh, Scott, what will be? Stop worshiping Pan. You don't glorify God. It's about time to accept the full gospel of Christ, which has three stages. It is not stuck in the blessings. You need to confess, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Thus, I am going to follow your footsteps. Unlike Israel, who followed the footsteps of Yeshua without knowing, I am with the knowledge, and I act in accordance with my knowledge that salvation is not only about blessings and garden of roses, smelly roses. It needs crucial part of your salvation process. Salvation is a process. Is turning your back to the God of Pan, to the God of this world, who wants you to be filled with worries about this life and all this junk, yeah? And facing your face like a flint, turning your face like to Jerusalem, yes, to Jerusalem, and walk, take all the mockery, take all the beating up, take all the suffering, all the way to the crucifixion. Guess why? Would you like to be resurrected with Christ when he comes? You cannot without being crucified first. No one who knows about medicine or medical, about resuscitation, no one would start resuscitate someone who is still alive, right? In order to resuscitate somebody, you need him, her to be dead first, yes or no? Beloved, the true gospel is the following. Let Yeshua end this message. He deserves it, right? Who am I? I just deliver his message. But let him speak to our hearts now, directly. Verse 24. Yeshua said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loves his life for my sake will find it. Can it be clearer than this? I am done, Pastor. Come, let's pray.
Wow. Is that some meat? Are you still chewing it before you swallow it? Thank you, my brother. I love this guy.
You want you to go?
Should I leave you?
Oh, yeah. You don't have to leave me. I wish you could have, and I'm not boasting of this man, but yesterday at the Fortunes for 6.5, 7 hours, and I know this is what you do, the in-depth teaching on the linkage with followers of Christ and the Jewish faith, it's like, wow, we have distanced ourselves, the church has, and it's just been wrong. And so I want to encourage you, I want to exhort you, I want to challenge you to not look at the New Testament and then the Old Testament, but look at as the Word of God, the Scripture. Oh, that's Old Testament. We discount that. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Get into your Bible more. Get into the Old Testament more. I will be. Find your roots. We've been grafted. The church has been grafted, the scripture says, into the tree of Israel. We've been grafted in. We haven't replaced. We've been grafted in because of Yeshua, Jesus. Lenone, that's a great chorus. Let's sing that again.
Lord, am I all in all?
And as you stand with me, yes, Rami, go ahead and be seated. Yes, stand up. And this is a, let this be a prayer, not like a closing song. And we want to bless this brother. If you, as you leave today, would make a check out to Bayside Community Church, I promise you, 100% of that money, whatever you bless our brother and sister with, because they've come up on their own accord. We haven't paid them. You put it in one of those two offering boxes by each door. 100% will go to them. I know where they live. I know how they live in Israel. And it's very modest. Let's bless them. As we've been blessed of the Lord, let's pray this course into our life. One more time. Lenone, lead us. As every head is bowed here, eye closed. Maybe you're here as a guest. Someone's invited you. Maybe you come on a regular basis, but you've never really asked Christ, confessed Jesus as Lord. And as Rami said, think about what you say. It's so easy for a pastor to just say, I want you to confess Jesus. How many hands do we have? Oh, yeah, we've done it. We got five people that have come to Christ. Amen. And we feel good about that. But you know what? That's just the beginning. So if this is for the 1,000th time, the first time, if you're ready to confess Christ as Lord and Savior, as the Son of God, you just do that right now. Every one of us, or not. Think about it, but confess Christ. If this is what you need to do, again or for the first time, confess Jesus. Ask him to come into your life, either for the first time or in a deeper way. And so, Lord, as we're doing that, as we confess you, as I confess you again, as I think this through about what I'm saying, that means not just everything maybe go rosy for me, but I need to walk as you walked, as Rami said. And that leads to blessing, but it also leads to some crucifixion. I don't look forward to the crucifixion. I look forward to the blessing, but I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to follow you. There may be kids going into to a new school year this year that will be judged if they confess Christ. They may be made fun of if they confess Christ. There may be workers here. There may be neighbors here that will be judged. But Lord, you bless us in ways that we don't even see. And we just want to follow you, whatever that leads. I'm not looking for the blessing. I'm not looking for the judgment. I want to follow in your steps, Lord. And Lord, I can confess that now very easily in a nice, warm, air-conditioned setting with a bunch of other believers. Help me, Holy Spirit, to stay strong as I walk with you week by week, month by month, year by year. I pray that for myself. I pray that for Bayside Community Church. I pray that for the church in America and the church worldwide. I pray that for Rami, Gabrielle, and Michael and their three beautiful daughters, and their extended family, and all of our families, Lord, that are represented here. And I trust in Jesus, Yeshua, as my Lord and Savior. And if you're with me on that, would you say, amen? And would you bless our brother? Would you, not just talking to him, spending some time, but as I said, blessing him financially. They flew up here. They've been down to Texas and Portland. Let's bless them. The box is in the back. And have a great week. Tonight, 6 p.m., if you want to be back.